Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
Excuse me one second. Hey, whoever's got that, turn that off. Just turn that off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. We have a very special episode for you today because we are joined by not one guest, not two guests, but three guests. That's right. So we are bringing back Action Tap Jackson. Tap, what's up, brother?
Chilling, man. Glad to be back. Good to see you fucking dudes again.
And dudettes.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about Ms. Smalls over here.
That's right.
Always good to see everybody.
We also brought back again, well, we didn't really have much of a choice. She forced her way onto the podcast. But Steffi Smalls, how are you, Steffi?
I'm good. I'm excited that we actually won because I feel like it's always a tense episode when I'm here. So at least we have a little bit more positivity this time around.
Well, let's hope it goes better this time around. And then we have everyone's favorite neighborhood father figure, Mr. RomoCop. Frank, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, guys. How are you and girls? Good to be back.
We are certainly doing well. If you could do something about your son, Murph, that would be greatly appreciated. So, Murph, as always, I am joined by my co-host. We have Adult Murph with us. Adult Murph, how are you?
I'm fantastic. It's Victory Wednesday, boys and girls. Actually, it's Victory every day until November 29th, so we'll get to that later. So it's Victory Wednesday, and tomorrow's Victory Thursday.
And Murph, I just really have to commend you. What a great job you're doing with the podcast page, keeping that content flowing. Everybody's enjoying it. We are really enjoying hashtag Adult Murph. So
Adult Murph's good for everybody.
Yeah, ever since your account got suspended, it was probably the best thing for the world. You're right. And Tino Rodriguez.
Matter of time, man.
My brother, how are you?
Last but not least, Murph, I was getting excited. I was jumping for joy. That was the part where you say, this show, we're streaking. Last show, you said we're streaking and we won one game. Now we're streaking. Two in a row, boys. Going to be three in a row. We actually won this week, even though we're on a bye, because we get to talk about the Giants winning for an extended period of time. So I'm ecstatic. I know Murph is jumping for joy on the inside, even though he's not showing it. Adult suspended Murph is a bit changed. It's not what we're used to, but I'm going to adjust to it. I'm okay with it, but I'll adjust to it.
I'm fucking stoked, man. We beat the goddamn Dirty Birds for the first time in what, 4 years?
4.5 years, man. 4.5 long fucking years.
Still doesn't feel like we won that fucking game.
Dude, I have so much to say about this game.
Well, you know what? Let's put the game on the back burner right now because we got to lead in with the story of the day. So, Murph, you've been all over this. So I'm going to let you just go ahead and introduce what happened today.
Well, I think for the Reader's Digest version, it sounds like behind the scenes, Joe has been working with the offensive line for the last couple of weeks, working along Mark Colombo. And it sounds like they were bringing in, and I'm not even going to fucking try to say his name, dude, because I'm not going to deal with Mitch's shit. But is it Dave D? No, nobody's going to tell me. Okay, fuck y'all. But it sounds like they brought a consultant in to help out Mark, and shit went to the shitter today. And Mark said, fuck that, I'm out. I'm the O-line.
There was a fist fight between Joe Judge and Mark Colombo.
We're not even going to do that stupid. We can fry that piece of shit, Steve.
Who was that? Jason McIntyre?
Is it Steve or Jason? Whoever the fuck he is.
He has the smallest penis of anyone in the entire world.
Smaller than Mark Colombo's penis?
Much smaller.
Wow. Little dick energy all over the place.
Yeah. LDE. Enough with that.
But what did I tell y'all? I messaged y'all right when that came out, and I said, this is just going to be a shit show in the media. And it took off immediately. Thank God. Even Pat Leonard. Thank God the beat came out and shut that down real quick. But, dude, that's how fast shit travels in New York.
All right, so the most interesting thing that come out about Mark Colombo being fired, and I'll throw this to Tino, and then we'll throw it to our guest. But, hey, Joe Judge has been working with the offensive line the last 3 weeks. That was when we started to see improvement on this offensive line. That's no fucking coincidence, boys and girls. I mean, seriously, we talked on this show about Joe Judge having more control over this team, Joe Judge taking control next year for Dave Gettleman, Joe Judge. And guess what? It's fucking happening now. We don't have to wait till next year. Tino?
No, 1,000%. I think this kind of wipes the rest of the doubters of whose team this is, who's pulling the strings, who's running the show. Joe's running the show. All right, Joe's running the show. I don't even think he needs a wink of approval from upstairs. But to the point of just Colombo real quick, we've talked about that being an issue on the show before. Steph has mentioned it. We've agreed. You didn't fully buy in, but I know you're bought in now, Mage. Look, it's as simple as this. You're the head coach. You're running the show. You're the boss. If you're doing someone else's job for them, what is your service there? And not only that, if you're doing it for them the last 2 weeks and they're doing better, see ya, bud. That's just it. And to Danny G or Davey G or whatever his name is, all I can tell from that situation is that he was the second guy that they interviewed for the offensive line position. That was Judge's guy. I have zero problem of them bringing him in. Mage, jump in, educate me a little bit better. But I have zero problem with what went on today, and I'm glad that Joe Judge whipped out his dick and showed Mark what's good.
I'm not going to give everybody a history lesson here on Davey G. I just want to give him a new nickname here because we're going to fuck it up. I'm just going to call him the Gulag. That's it.
I like that. With the Gabagool. I'll call him the
Gabagool. Guglielmo.
Guglielmo?
David Guglielmo.
I call him Guillermo, like the dude from Jimmy Kimmel's show. But, that's Coach Guillermo.
Frank, what are your thoughts on this move, Frank?
Well, I think his name is DeGuglielmo, but I mean, I was a supporter of Colombo. I mean, I didn't know any better, obviously. So, I mean, I knew that the Cowboys line was good. I knew that he was a ex-O lineman. I knew that he worked with Garrett. And so I just assumed that, you know, that he knew what the hell he was doing.
We all did. I'm not going to say. You're not alone on that. We all liked the Mark Colombo hiring as well.
I'm not going to say he didn't know what he was doing. I mean, I just think that it looks like, you know, this team has been struggling to find their identity for the first 10 weeks, right? And it seems like they've kind of figured out where guys fit now. And, I mean, this O-line is much different than the O-line last year, and not just in personnel, but in the way they're running things. I mean, all these traps and pulling guards and pulling centers and, pulling tackles to the other side of the line. It's freaking crazy, and it's awesome. But I don't know that Colombo, you know, was equipped to manage the O-line the way that Judge wants the O-line managed. So, I mean, this guy that's coming in, he has a hell of a resume. He's been all around the block, and it sounds like he can be abrasive. But if Judge is signing off on it, obviously he's comfortable with it. So I'm comfortable with it.
I think Colombo had to go. Obviously everyone knows that. Kaya, you're not part of the podcast, okay? With Andrew Thomas, he obviously had some kind of impact because Andrew Thomas didn't come onto the team as a first round pick and then all of a sudden have an inability to even be a football player, which he was doing at the beginning of the season. And I think we saw last week, you don't learn how to block overnight. So someone was involved in that. And I think it's a good thing that he's gone. It'll be interesting to see how things go moving forward.
Mage, here's something that we could all try to get in on, because this is another angle I'm looking at with this game, because I gave credit to Jason Garrett this week for calling his best game of the season. I thought the first two drives were magnificent, obviously attended to play script. But now that I know that Judge was involved with that offensive line and getting in the mix of that, was this Jason Garrett being aggressive and changing his mindset as a play caller? Or is that Judge putting his foot in Jason Garrett's ass, as well as the offensive line's ass, and really willing it together and becoming this head coach that we've been waiting to see in terms of he's running this show. It was Jason Garrett's offense, but the aggression, the play calling, the hard-nosed effort, that was Joe Judge. I know we've been waiting to see this, but for me, I just see the sprinkle of the Judge magic all over this game after seeing this move with Colombo. I don't think it's any surprise that they were as aggressive as they were against Philly of all teams other than for a Judge.
Well, Murph said this since the very beginning when we hired Joe Judge. Everybody's on notice. And, hey, you know what? Maybe Jason Garrett saw it inside that locker room, him getting involved with Mark Colombo and said, fuck, I don't want to be next. And maybe you're right. Maybe it did kick Jason Garrett's offensive playing call into another gear. Because, again, something I've been saying on this show is that we saw that progression 3 games ago. I told you guys it was with that first Philly game. I said, it's going up from here. And it's very ironic that we now find out that's when Joe Judge got involved, which was 3 weeks ago. And we've been saying that on the podcast. The progression's been there. We lost to Philly. We lost to the Bucks. Both were really close games that we could have won. And then we turned the corner. We beat Washington. And then we also beat Philadelphia, back-to-back division games. But I want to kick it to Tap here for his opinion on this.
I actually love the hire. Obviously, you know, the news broke today and I started to look into it more. I mean, Coach Dave Guillermo, which I'm going to continue to call him that, he's been with Coach Coughlin, you know, I believe it was at Boston. He was with the Giants with Coughlin as well. And he was with Belichick and he was with the Colts. And every time you see those teams and you look at the years that he was with those teams, their lines have been amazing. So in researching it a little bit today, I saw that he was a big improvement with Quentin Nelson. Like he really just worked with Quentin Nelson and we all know how great he is. So I'm wondering now he comes in, is anything going to change? Is he going to really work with Will Hernandez or are we going to go with Lemieux there? And, you know, looking at some of his interviews from before, he was talking about how at some point with New England, they had a rotation of just offensive linemen just rotating all over the place. They had like 12 different lineups all the time. And I'm hoping that he brings that to our team moving forward. And it's just going to be confusing the hell out of the opponent. Because with Garrett also, they were saying that against Philly on first down, we never ran the same personnel. So it was like impossible for them to figure out what we were trying to do. And, you know, it always goes back to the Giants, how we were always predictable, you know, even with Gilbride, with Coughlin, it was always like, all right, first and 10, we're going to run it. And then it'll be second and 15. Then it's like the classic shotgun draw. And we all knew those plays coming in. And I feel like, you know, Judge is really just taking over and it's, With the firing today, apparently Colombo called Judge one of the worst words of all time, which I can't imagine what that
was. We got to play this game now. What do we think it was?
I think he called him Odell.
I think he called him. See you next Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. But people are saying they think it's the P word. I don't think it's the P word.
Pussy? Oh.
Not penis.
Penis? Kind of does look like a penis. Okay. Kind of like
yes.
He definitely called him a cunt.
I thought he called him a cocksucker.
It was the C word.
I don't know. No, I've been called all those things. I've never felt offended by
just
any of
them. Just look at my Twitter. I say that shit all the time.
If you're in Europe.
You don't say that to your boss, though. I mean, let's be real.
I tagged my mom in my post so that she knew I was saying it. I was like, it's for research.
Tap, what do they call you in Europe? What did you just say?
They say cunt all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she said the American language.
I love it.
Kim Jones.
Every time I'm over there, I love to call people cunts.
But for real, like at the end of the day, you don't call your boss that. So.
I want to piggyback off of what Tap said here about his philosophy in terms of mixing up the offensive line, because that's exactly what we saw out of Joe Judge the last 3 weeks was the rotation on the offensive line, right? Andrew Thomas comes out for a series in with Matt Peart. Now Shane Lemieux started, but at the same time, Will Hernandez was off of the COVID list and did not start. So he is also rotating that offensive line. We also heard the same philosophy out of Patrick Graham prior to the season about rotating the defense, right? And we see that with the snap counts. Early on, Marcus Golden was playing a high percentage of snaps, and then we go to a low percentage of snaps. They switch. They like to switch us up on a week-to-week basis based on the personnel and the matchup. So it's no surprise here that he kind of fits Joe Judge's philosophy. But let's move on from Mark Colombo. Well, actually, you know what? Let's stay here for a second, because the one thing that I wanted to talk about or bring up was Shane Lemieux. Let's talk about Shane Lemieux for a second. Because I said on the podcast, maybe it wasn't on the podcast, it was after that, but Shane Lemieux actually allows the Giants to open up their running game, in which we saw Alfred Morris go for yards. We saw Wayne Gallman go for yards. They can use more of a zone blocking scheme with Shane Lemieux because he's more athletic than Will Hernandez. Will Hernandez is like a fucking anchor on that offensive line. And we saw it. Shane Lemieux pulled a lot in the last game versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Andrew Thomas looked better. I mean, what are we expecting going forward for this offensive line, Frank?
Shane Lemieux has definitely given them an opportunity to do a lot more of those wham blocks and trap blocks. But Shane Lemieux got blown up like three or four times in the game. I mean, on I think it was on the second touchdown that DJ had. If DJ didn't pull that ball and run, Wayne Gallman was like toast in the backfield, like 3 yards deep. Shane Lemieux got like run over. But I'm not giving up on Hernandez yet. I think he's going to be fine. I think, you know, maybe he regressed a little bit under Colombo. Maybe they were trying to change his technique. Who knows? So I'm hoping with some new coaching, he can kind of, he can get back in there and show, you know, his status. I mean, he's a high second round pick. He was actually, you know, expected to be a first round pick at one point. So, I mean, I think he's still got the talent to be a starter and be a good starter in the league.
You're right about Will Hernandez being the better blocker, but my concern is whether or not he has enough athleticism to continue with what we've seen out of the last 3 weeks from this offense and what Jason Garrett's been able to do with the creativity. Steph, offensive line guru.
You use the exact same thing that you said on the show the other time. So I feel like it's going to be so interesting to see what happens with the different coach there. I mean, I said it, the last time I was on here, I said, why do they all look like that? It has to be coaching. They're all doing the same weird shit where they're like falling over each other. They're leaning forward. They're just doing bizarre things that make exactly no sense. And it has to be an impact on the coach. I don't know that Hernandez really deserves a starting position, but I think that having him as a backup is great. I think that I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't. I think that Andrew Thomas is going to blow up, though. I think he's going to do so well. It was like night and day those last two games. He played so well, except for that penalty, which is fine. He's lucky. But
I just want to point out that's different. A huge difference, because not the last episode, but the one before, I believe you want to launch Andrew Thomas into the sun along with Cam Fleming.
Yeah, well, I wanted to launch Fleming.
So all this time, it was Mark Colombo who was his enemy.
Yes. Well, I wrote a letter to him, and I said, hi, I hope you're okay. You broke something, and I need you to fix it. And it is Andrew Thomas.
That penalty was complete bullshit, by the way. I mean, that was his first holding penalty of the year, and that was complete bullshit. I mean, that's what you're taught to do as an O-lineman.
I think he has two, though.
I really think that today's move was more about the future of this team than anything. I don't think that Mark was the guy to gel with these young development players, let's say. He walked right into debt. We've talked about this before. He walked right into Dallas and had a great setup there. Now he's tasked with developing Andrew Thomas, Gates, and Pert. So I don't think it's any coincidence that he's gone and Judge has been with them for the last couple of weeks, but I expect this line to just continue to get better. But I still don't know who this line actually is. I mean, I think Will's lost his job. I think he lost his job. That was pretty apparent last week. But now with Zeitler having a concussion, but like, I don't know that that's permanent. So Will could still be in the picture of this going forward, as much as I hate to say that. But new coach, fresh slate. Just like it was with Joe Judge, now the whole O-line's got a fresh slate. And I really think this had a lot to do with Andrew Thomas.
Just commenting on it really quick, and then you guys can go ahead, is I think thinking that Judge wasn't going to come into the system and want it to be his own is, like, idiotic. I mean, I think that he wants everyone to get on the same page. He's all in. He's been very clear about that. He's rebuilding. He doesn't give a fuck about the standings. The record will follow. He said it in his last press conference. He's here for the team to get better as a group. So I think something that he's doing, and I think you, like, at least I noticed it in the last game, is I think he's trying to figure out who is staying and who's going. So I think he's trying to figure out the talent, but he's also using it to win. But I mean, I don't think that you guys are going to go off on this. But I don't think Garrett will be here next year.
I have zero problem with anything that you just said, as long as Joe Judge is in control of this team heading into next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I trust
we can't
him.
Reset the him. Offense.
You're
we
right,
can't sir. Reset the offense. We can't make DJ have another system. No. Can't do that to the kid.
Well, that'd be four offenses in 4 years.
But how right. do you know that any of those calls were Garrett? How do we not know that that was Judge? There's no way that that was Garrett. Not a single Ingram reverse, a fake Ingram reverse. That sounds like
unless it comes out otherwise. Right now, you got to give Garrett the credit for it. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, think that it wasn't Jason Garrett. But you know, I agree with what you said though too, Steph, is that I trust Joe Judge, and Frank's right too. It'd be kind of hard to implement the new offense here for Danny heading into his fourth season, the third season.
Judge is definitely not calling plays. He may have input into the playbook for or the, you know, into the scheme for that game, but he's not calling plays. He doesn't have a play sheet in front of him. I mean, he's definitely not calling plays for the individual game.
1,000%.
He's taking out the shitty one.
1,000%. But look, you talked about the Andrew Thomas hold. Who's gonna give the brass to Jason Garrett to call a QB counter up 7 points late in the fourth quarter? In between the tackles like that. That's not a Jason Garrett call. And that's not recency bias. Look at Dallas. He wouldn't call that with Dak. He wasn't calling that with anyone. And I'm not saying he's not making the calls. Garrett's obviously making the play calls. He's calling those deep passes with aggression in terms of Slayton and Tate and Shepard. That's all great. But real quick, Mitch, the amount of balls you need to say, you know what? We scored our first touchdown on a 40-yard design QB run with Danny. Then they gave him two more goal line touches later on the second drive. And then late in the game, you say, I'm going to put the ball in his hands in between the tackles and run it to a tee like that. I'm sorry. That's brass that maybe Garrett finally puts it together. And I sure hope he does because Danny doesn't need another system in 4 years. But that isn't what he is accustomed to. That is not his MO. And God damn it, I loved every second of that. That's what we should have been doing. They can't stop him. They cannot stop Danny.
Well, Tino, I wanted to piggyback off of your point real quick. But again, it's like as if Joe Judge is doing a SWOT analysis on this team, right? I mean, what you're talking about with Jason Garrett is everything that we've been talking about, touched on it earlier. He looks for weaknesses, and he's looking for strengths, and he's exploiting or going away from, and he's finding the difference between the two. We don't do this really well. The Evan Ingram reverses, right? Let's take him out of the playbook. Oh, we have a quarterback that can fucking run 20 miles an hour. Let's utilize that a little bit more. So I agree with you, Tino. And Frank said it too. Joe Judge may not be calling the plays, but you got to be asinine to think that he's not having some sort of input on this. And what we saw with Joe Judge taking over the offensive line for the last 3 weeks, that's the CEO type that we've been fucking looking for. If there is a weakness in this team, he is going to go over it and he's going to try and get that fixed. That's what a good head coach does, unlike what we have with our neighbors over at MetLife Stadium, the New York Jets, where you got coaches like Adam Gase that's just focused on wanting to be an offensive guru. That's not Joe Judge. I fucking Love this. I love this man.
I'm absolutely obsessed with Joe Judge. I watch the Joe Judge report every week on repeat. I watch his post-game press conferences just to try to pick up on things. You know what I mean? With Judge, though, he goes through everything with such a fine-tooth comb. And I think that, like, I've been complaining about this every single week. No one falls for our hard count at all. Like, it's fourth and one. Danny goes up there, does a hard count. It's like, we know that they're just going to try to get them to jump and we'll punt it. But I do feel like Joe Judge is playing chess and he's multiple steps ahead. One of these games, I guarantee you, we're going to line up, hard count. They're going to snap it. It's going to be huge. Special teams is always huge. He just looks at like such like fine point things where even against Dallas, he was like, all right, we're going to punt it this way into the light. You know, we're going to even plays where it's like, all right, we're not going to have someone back there to receive the punt. And it's just like, dude, this guy is just thinking like so far ahead and he's just looking at little things. And I feel like he's just constantly setting up for the future because, you know, obviously teams watch tape, you know, and we pretty much don't do the same thing. You know what I mean? Like we're constantly evolving and he's constantly setting up for the next game, for the next game. And I've been saying it, man, if we win this division and we go into the playoffs, we're going to be a problem because we're going to be clicking at the right time. We'll have that home game because obviously like we're not going to make the playoffs unless we win the East. We'll have that home game. It'll be January. Hopefully it's a dome team or a warm weather team or, you know, one of those West Coast teams coming over and we're going to be lights out.
Real quick on Judge, I think that the most influence he could have probably is just with the mentality of the offense in terms of how aggressive they're going to be, what they want to do on certain down and distance situations, and pitch count. I mean, you mentioned the Ingram reverse. Yeah, we didn't see an Ingram reverse. He also didn't get 10 targets that he did in Washington. He got 3. And they called his number early in the game on a third down. He got the conversion, but they didn't force him the ball. We didn't have to be aggressive through Ingram and put that load on Ingram. And I think that was a great mindset. We talked about it on the show last week. If we turn thinking Evan Ingram's got to be our best playmaker this week, we were fucked. And they didn't make that happen. They believed in Danny, and that's what should have happened. Here's the play that I think showed the most for me about this Judge mantra of this team. The 4th and 2, all right, on the second drive, coming out. We come out big, right? We shift into it. We have Pert lined up in front. It looks like it's going to be a screen. Then we go heavy on the right side. And all it is, it's just zone read left, away from the strength, and you just barrel down to Thomas, Lemieux. You just wash it and let Goldman go over the top. But that's from literally the sack from having Danny be a threat in the running game, so they got to respect it and they freeze him, to them being scared, to you running to the strong side, to believing in Goldman and then getting something out of the guys like Lemieux and Thomas when you didn't think they were going to do it on a 4th and 2 at the 2-yard line. This is a Giants team. If that happens 2 years ago, we're not getting that shit. Not only are we not getting it, we're getting stuffed before it even happens. And that was huge. That was a 13-play drive that we capped off with that. I think it was gigantic. We didn't settle for field goals. We went into that game to win, and that was all Judge. That was all Judge.
Real quick, before we give Stephanie the floor here too, the one thing that I liked also too, Tino, is right after the Philadelphia Eagles scored, we went out and we completed 2 huge, big pass plays. Not something that we did a lot in the first couple of weeks. We didn't take those deep shots downfield, and we hit them both on back-to-back passes, which was amazing.
That's what I'm saying. It's we're not doing things that we do. Every game, we're evolving. That's the whole thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because Judge is taking over, right? There's no way that Garrett, in his mind, had a first drive that was like 20 yards to Slayton. Then they went to Gallman. Then it was Ingram for just a short, just to get the first down. And then an RPO? No. Garrett did not design that. I did not design that drive. And I will not stand for that. There's no way. You guys really think that was Garrett's idea? When does he ever come up with anything along those lines?
Nobody said it was Garrett. Nobody said it was Garrett calling the play. I mean, the first play, the first drive of the game, they script it. No, they script the first drive. But Judge is not standing there. But he's not standing there with a play sheet. He can't be calling plays. Oh,
I
don't
think
that.
I think it's before the game, though. I think he's had an impact on the last two games for sure.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that at all. No, I mean, Judge is definitely – he's putting his stamp on it. I mean, he's definitely giving Garrett – but I just want to make one point regarding his aggressiveness, right? So we're saying he's aggressive with his play calling or he's making Garrett be more aggressive.
It's not aggressive. It's being smart.
But he hasn't been aggressive at certain times in the game when it's fourth and one, you know, when we've had opportunities to go for it, he's kind of punted on it. Right. So, I mean, he is aggressive to a certain point, but then he pulls back the reins and you're right, Steph. He's smart. He knows when to be smart.
Well, that was the point that Tap brought up on the fourth and one with the hard counts. No one's falling for it. You're just
well, that third and goal too. Move, but to Penny, it was weird, but go ahead.
I'm taking it that Joe Judge is a grinder on the fucking film weekly because we're seeing things that we did well in games previously. Well,
Murph, implemented the question is he using a Wii remote?
Fuck yeah, he's using a Wii remote. We only use that shit in New York. But I do have to say something because none of y'all like this man. But how about the Golden Tate story? Joe Judge fucking gets this guy to buy back in after he wants out. He shuns him to the practice squad, basically, in practice. And then, what is it, the third quarter? We're down by seven? Or is the game tied? I'm sorry. My memory is, like, horrible. Y'all know this. Yeah, we might have been up three. I believe, the third quarter. Danny goes down. He hits Slayton on the left side. Next play. Joe Judge fucking enters Tate into the lineup. Big moment of the game. Puts Tate in to make a play. What's a better way to get a guy's momentum back up, man?
And then Golden Tate gets up and then looks towards his own sideline and does a little boastful brag. So, you know
what? But, hey, you could take
– that's who he is.
Launch him, fuck him. Get
that's
him
fine. This isn't about Golden. Y'all know I like Golden.
I just think –
stop. Y'all know I like – he was inactive. No, I like Golden, but this isn't about Golden. This is about Joe Judge and the way he handled the situation from stage one.
Doesn't surprise me.
No, I know. It doesn't surprise me. I'm just – can I just get my fucking take, dude? You guys all got to jerk Joe Judge off. I'm
trying to help you get from point A to point B because Murph likes to take a lot of detours.
Well, I was trying to switch us over. So let's go. Let's fucking talk about the Eagles, man. We beat the goddamn Eagles. We haven't even talked about that
by
yet.
10 points.
10 points. And also,
not one
Tino.
Point, not 2 points.
And also, Tino, what did we do for the majority of that game again?
Well, dominate. We led start to finish.
Let's go.
Absolutely
baby.
Dominated start to finish.
Let's go. Time of fucking
controlled tempo, won special teams. It was a fucking clinic. It was a clinic. And it's
middle to the metal the entire game.
I will tell you, though, in classic Giants versus Eagles fashion, I was fucking terrified. With 6.5 minutes left, I'm texting my boy. I'm like, this is just perfect time for us to go 3 and out. Eagles score. We go 3 and out. And I'm just
they did that to us the previous game. Of course you'd be terrified.
Well, just in every Eagles game alone, like, you remember the fucking Matt Dodge punt to douchebag Jackson?
Yeah, everyone.
We were dominating that game from start to almost finish. You know what I mean?
But the first Eagles game, we were up with 6 minutes to go in the game, and we fucking blew it.
Exactly.
I get your concern.
Even the field goal, it was like hooking right a little bit, and I was like, terrified. Dude, please, you know, I like closed my eyes, and I just heard, you know, the announcer say it was good, and like I breathed a sigh of fucking relief, man. It's like I have like
huge weight lifted.
I have like late career Eli Manning PTSD every time we play the Eagles, man.
But what was the biggest difference this time around? Sorry, real quick. What was the biggest difference this time around? The Eagles didn't convert a single first down. And that's where the dominance was felt the most for me.
It was 0-8, baby. 0-8.
The utmost confidence.
0-9.
And you know what? When Judge punts it, I don't even blame him. How can you not? they have the utmost confidence in this D. They showed it against Washington when they were timid at the end of the game, and they gave them two shots, and they picked them off. 0-9. Insane. That hasn't happened for the Giants in 10 years, a decade, and the Eagles almost two decades. And that's the team we had them beat in six consecutive times, seven, eight, whatever it was. I mean, that's just something I couldn't even believe I was watching. It was insane, and then that was the difference, man. We got off the field on third down, something we couldn't do all season, and we did it in that fashion, man.
And we did it versus a healthy Eagles team, and I can't stress enough how important that was.
That's like, a really good point,
we
Murph.
Walked into Philly with a battle and beaten Eagles team. They had no Miles Sanders. They had no wide receivers. This game, they had everyone. They had Rager. They had Jeffrey. I mean, I didn't expect a lot, but
Goddard was back.
They had Goddard. They had Miles Sanders back. I'm pretty sure they were missing an O-lineman against us who got hurt like very early in the game that played for them this week. So, I mean, dude, I gotta give it to this team, man. I mean, they are getting better every week, and I didn't have high expectations going into this game.
I love it, Murph. You're like,
well, another difference maker, Murph. The other difference maker is that Alshon Jeffrey almost got involved. They drew up plays for him. Carson Wentz just overshot him every time.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Let's get down to brass tacks here. Carson Wentz sucked on Sunday. Yeah, I mean, dunk up the joint.
And we finally fucking got to Carson Wentz. He didn't elude pressure like he always does with us. That is literally what kills us every fucking time we play him. And we just finish the play every time. And that all starts with Coach KS's defense, man, or defensive line.
Well,
man.
Patty G had a great game plan, though. Yes, he did. Tell. He was like, you know what? You want to RPO us to death and move the chains, fine. But even from the first rip, they're like, you'll take your field goals. There was no chance this D was breaking. There was no chance this D was breaking. And it was textbook, man. Coaching won us this week from Judge to Patty G and even Garrett. And it was a collective effort. This was a team win. I think everyone had their best game against Philly, and that's what it took for us to finally be in this division and be fucking relevant and beat the Eagles.
All right, guys, you call me. We joke that I'm the old guy in the room, right? So back
is it
to
really back a joke, to, though, Frank?
Well, hold on. Mage is old as shit too, so
I'm not as old as Frank though, so he's the old guy in the room.
I'm old, right? my genius.
So listen, I mean, we've got DJ now. We have a quarterback who can run, like you said, Madge. So I lived through frickin' Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, and fucking Carson Wentz.
Jesus. No, I'm kidding.
And we are finally the team that can fucking run on the other team. It is the best to see Danny running all over these guys. You guys have no idea. Randall Cunningham used to kill the Giants. It was ridiculous. Donovan McNabb used to kill the Giants. You probably saw some of those games.
Frank, let me interrupt you real
Vanilla
quick.
Vanilla Vic, baby. Vanilla
That's Vic. That's right.
Can we stop calling him Vanilla Vic? I like white chocolate.
I fucking
better.
Love it.
But, Frank, I saw a real interesting stat, and I'll let you go on with your point, but Danny took over for the all-time leading rusher for a quarterback in only his second season. He is the Giants' all-time leading rusher as a quarterback for the New York Giants.
Who was one?
That's amazing.
Who was one? Gifford?
Parkinson.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but Danny is also number four or five on the list, too, for rushes. Because it's like, it's Danny, Tarkenton, Danny again.
Oh, you mean number one?
For longest rushes, you mean?
No. Most rush yards
for longest.
Per season.
Or are you talking per carry?
Per season.
He's about to break Tarkenton's record in per carry, too. He's at 7.8 per carry, which is bonkers.
Fastest man on the planet. He's the fastest man on the planet.
I think he passed Eli. He passed Eli for most, or, you know, yards. It was like a stat. Eli had like 622 yards for his whole career. And Danny had more than that in his, you know, 20th game or whatever, 24th game. So I really had no point other than the fact that to see our quarterback run on the Eagles finally just like literally brings tears to my eyes.
Well, it's nice to see us modernizing to the game. You know, we talk about how ancient we are and our philosophy is so ancient and shit, but like we got a quarterback that's leading the team in rushing. Who would have ever thought that?
But are we really going away from like our core though? I mean, it's we're still trying to be a run first team and stop the run, right? And like that's what the Giants have always been. We run the ball, we play defense. I mean, we're kind of getting back to that, but with the modern
twist, everything else is getting better. Is what
yeah? Well, with the modern twist now that we finally have a QB that can actually run, who's just not in the pocket and get sacked all the time. Well, for the most part.
Well, look, I'm not comparing us to the Ravens or anything, but
no, because the Ravens.
I don't necessarily think Lamar's a run first quarterback, but Danny's legs are an extra to us. It literally is an extra. We don't even fucking need him. We just
that was something bonus that we said early on in the podcast. He's a threat. What does it do if you have a quarterback that can run? It keeps the defense honest. It prevents him from stacking the box or even possibly blitzing at times because you know Danny can take off. Steph.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
I feel like RPO. No, I just have been trying to talk for like 10 minutes, but it's fine. So I probably lost
all my sorry. You know what? But all these men are so disrespectful. All you should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, I'm working really hard to not be loud, and I'm controlling myself tonight. If you haven't noticed, you guys can like say good job later. But I think that RPO is like our weapon, right? I think that this is something that we need to use. Like, and this is kind of why this is where I stand with Garrett is that I don't think he has as much. I don't know. I just think there's more Judge coming in because you can see it. I mean, they're building Danny back into the playbook. We saw it all season where we would have these badass plays like in the Cowboys game when Caden Smith blocked for Danny for that run. You don't see things like that. And then this was the first game. Oh, first of all, actually, this was my point. This is the only game this entire season that we have kept momentum from first quarter to fourth quarter. We do not finish games. We finish the game. Murph, you didn't say it. I see you sitting, putting your arms up.
Me and
up.
Tino literally already fucking talked about that.
She said it differently, though, and I did like
she said momentum. I'll give it to her.
We didn't say momentum. We didn't.
It's different.
You're right.
It's doing – you know what we did is this is the only game that you – I mean, in my opinion, that you could say that it was complimentary football. Both sides were working just as hard. Everything was it's only time.
Steph, let me stop you for 1 second, and you can have the floor again. But because Joe Judge actually said something today that he doesn't believe in momentum.
Okay. I mean, what do you want me to call it? Should it?
Well, Joe Judge isn't human, so.
It's interesting that you bring up the fact that you said momentum because Joe Judge today just said that it's something that he doesn't believe in, but – I'm right. Just making a point, bringing up what
I think
happened.
It's, no, I think it's more consistency than anything.
You just
I think
love to fight me.
I bet you no, Joe Judge you. Doesn't believe in Santa Claus either. I bet you his kids never believed in Santa Claus.
Evil.
He just looks like that kind of person.
Let me finish my thought so I don't get loud. Okay. We have seen consistency the entire season, first and second quarter. It's like Garrett is being has his thinking cap on and it's so badass. And then we come out in the half and we look like idiots. So don't call it momentum then. Call it consistency. I don't care.
Fire.
No, well, to her point.
Competitive edge.
To her point, it's true, though. I mean, scored in 3 minutes after they scored in 3 minutes out of half. That's not a Jason Garrett offense.
I'm always going to lose here.
We're not losing. We're agreeing with you.
We're agreeing.
We're just giving you shit because we already said something along the lines, but that's okay.
With this game, I feel like – with this game, I felt like we played a little bit differently, meaning like when we scored, we didn't kind of pull that like pussy offense that like we normally do. We stayed aggressive. We kept the foot to the pedal and we just kept going. Like we just kept playing aggressive. Like we were trying to score, not like just like, let's just go down the field. Maybe we'll get a fucking field goal. Maybe we'll, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's a really good point, Tad, because that was something that I said on the podcast maybe a few weeks back. I felt like that they were letting up in games.
They were letting up on the momentum.
The momentum. I'm
gonna be honest, it's momentum.
We were playing not to lose. We were playing.
Yeah, that's it.
We were playing not to lose the game, And you're right, Tap. I mean, the fact that they are keeping their foot on the pedal all the way through, it's really refreshing to kind of see.
Because we've always get like a decent lead, a 10-point lead or whatever, and then we start playing prevent offense where like we're not going out there to just like
put four and out, four and out,
yeah,
four
exactly. And out. Just go out there and just waste time off the clock. I noticed that this game was different. That, I mean, the announcers also mentioned in the second half that when we had the lead, we kind of pulled this like soft defense back too, where it's like, all right, bend but don't break, let them get the yards but don't let them get that yards after contact, wrap them up. And I feel like it's going to change. Like I said before, Judge is out here playing chess, man. Everything is being prepped for the next couple of weeks. And that's why I keep saying, I'm like, if we make the playoffs, if we win this division, we're a fucking problem.
But you mentioned it real quick, Murph. He mentioned it earlier. We're not predictable anymore. We're not the same Giants, right? But this feeds into the pitch count I'm talking about. Austin Mack, one catch, huge first down, alone on an island away from the play. They target him in key situations. I think the difference in this offense is that we're not forcing people the ball just to get them the looks and the fucking fantasy points. We're realizing we can utilize and trust players on this team. Alfred Morris, Austin Mack, Caden Smith, two receptions all around for everyone. Divvy it out. Be a fucking team. No person needs to be bigger than anyone else. And we still don't have weapons, and we can manage to win games by orchestrating the offense in that way.
It's a bold take, but Saquon going down might have been the best thing to ever happen for this offense.
So can I come off that really quick?
We said that here on the show, that losing Saquon, we were going to
for
find
Danny,
out.
Yeah, I know we've
we
talked
about
it.
Find out
Danny.
What this offense was going to be, because without having to force plays to a star player, now it opens up the offense, which is what Tino was talking about. Go ahead, Steph.
No, I was just going to say, how do you guys like to kind of move us away from this topic is, how do you guys feel about them doing, like having Saquon come back and then having Freeman and Gallman still in there? So do you think that they're going to keep going with this like rotating thing across the board? Or do you think it's going to be, we get rid of Freeman?
They're going to have to re-sign both of them. So both deals are expiring. So somebody's going to get one.
Well, I'm not told they're going to bring back Freeman anymore. I mean, basically.
Well, here's the thing. If Gallman keeps
balling,
dude. I was going
to say that to you. If anything, bring back Alfred Morris and keep Gallman. I mean,
but also.
Okay,
hold on.
No, Alfred Morris is. Yeah, he retires.
Over Freeman?
You got to think he retires after this year. I don't know how he's still in the league now.
Morris has looked good. And he's
not even that old.
He's improved.
The thing is that he can punch those holes. That's what you want, is a back that can pick up the extra 2 yards.
He's good to run in between the tackles because he's small enough, right? He's built like that muscle hamster. But here's the thing. He does the old.
He picks up yards. He's a couple quick.
Falls
so we're
flat.
Using Ingram like that.
He breaks it and finds a hole, or he falls flat at the line of scrimmage. That's not a great complimentary back.
Guys, let's be real. Wayne Gallman's playing for a payday. This is the NFL. Yeah. So,
that's why.
He barely made the roster. He was literally last man.
Wasn't he on the team too? Like, hasn't he been
a healthy
on the team
scratch when Saquon?
Yeah, this is his last year on the team. I mean, we drafted him from Clemson.
Crazy.
I think Gallman's gone.
I think he's gone because of the success he's had, obviously. So, but, hey.
They're going to start prepping to get rid of Saquon.
Time out. I got to take control of this episode again. Murph, go ahead, please.
This is a different franchise, man. So, like, normally I would be like, Gallman's probably gone. But maybe Gallman fucking loves Joe Judge, dude. Maybe he fucking loves Jason Garrett. Like, things are changing. I don't know. I'm not going to rule him out, but at the same time, the man's playing for a payday. So if somebody's going to offer, somebody's going to offer.
Go ahead, Tap. What's your point?
That's pretty much my point too, is that he's playing for a payday. And if he continues playing the way he's playing, someone's going to offer him something.
Saquon hasn't been able to have an ability. What? I'm serious. He gets hurt every season. I'm just saying.
It's still Saquon, though. That's the thing. Like, Saquon is RB1.
Yeah, but
if Saquon was running behind the way the line is blocking right now, I mean, if Saquon was there for the Chicago game, if Saquon was there for the Dallas game, Bucks, we win those games.
We can't use him. Bucks we don't know game. How. We don't know
Joe
how.
Judge
if
will
he didn't
figure
get
it
hurt,
out.
He'd be gone.
That's what we have Joe Judge for, right?
I do think you've seen it, though. It makes our offense less predictable when he's not in the game. So when he does come back, we've talked about it on this show, I still think it would help to have another guy there with him, especially when he's nursing an ACL injury.
Definitely.
For load management. I'm just saying, sure, if we ease him in 8 games into next year and he wants to take over RB1 when the offense is humming, go ahead. But I in no way want to just make Saquon the guy and make it the Giants offense of what it's been the last 2 years.
Well, Tino, this
Don't
is something
think
that
Gallman is a good compliment to him, though.
I agree with you, Murph. And something that we talked about in our group chat, Tap, Frank, you weren't there yet, but Tap and Murph were, this is what Mr. Chris 172 wanted. He wanted to get that back Siwo, right, the rookie this year, to compliment Saquon. Heading into the season, we knew Saquon needed a compliment back. I agree with Murph. I don't think Wayne Gallman, or as I like to call him now, Le'Veon Gallman, is that back, because you need somebody that can pick up the hard 2-3 yards and then let Saquon be that finesse back. Devontae Freeman, I think, fits that role, but I think Devontae Freeman might be gone this year. Frank, I agree with your point. I think the point that you make is a good one. If Saquon Barkley is running behind this offensive line that we have today, I think we do see a different Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley would be able to see those holes a little bit more. He's a pretty patient runner. And not only that, what we might be able to do with him in the passing game as well.
So I definitely agree that he would see – I mean, last game, not the Eagles game, the one prior, that was the first game that I was like, holy shit, I wish Saquon was here. If he was here, he would have had like 4 or 5 really sick fucking runs. But I do feel like we need to utilize Saquon better. And if we can't utilize him, then we need to figure out what the fuck we're going to do. I don't think Gallman's going anywhere. I think he's proving himself. I think Judge likes him, too.
I think what would have helped Saquon all along was utilizing this run game with Danny. I've been pounding the table for 8 fucking weeks for it to happen. Everyone's been pussyfooting around it. Okay. Danny can run the ball, okay? And what makes a one-man show in the backfield better is when you have a quarterback willing to pull the ball and make them not stack the box and overcommit to Saquon. That was the issue. Saquon finished last year averaging shit yards a carry because everyone was just stacking the box and we were so predictable that no one was scared of anything else.
We also have no wide receiver one. We need other targets. It's the problem. So we can't rely just on fucking Saquon.
Mm-hmm. Well, next year when we have Allen Robinson or Kenny Galladay.
Allen Robinson's not going to come. He blew it today. Because he had whoever was saying, pass him the ball. Now it's done. Judge is never going to sign him.
Oh, get the fuck out of here with that shit.
I don't think you're accounting for the Bears to be the Bears. The Bears are going to fuck that up.
They're making a
bigger deal out of it. It doesn't matter. Judge won't bring him on this team.
I think we learned today that we don't need to believe what the media says.
I'm not reading the media. I'm reading what the
– He's just pissed off because Nick Foles blows, and so does Matt Nagy.
His manager said Nick Foles doesn't blow.
Who?
Who was the one that said pass, like, get him passes?
Apparently, Allen Robinson's tweets and all that are from his agent as well.
I'm sure.
I said manager. You're gonna get
well, we're getting Kenny Galladay anyways.
I'm sorry. I actually kind of zoned off for a little bit.
No Kenny Galladays. No
Kenny Galladays.
Right.
You
y'all.
Don't want Galladay.
Fuck y'all.
You need to take someone that isn't going to actually be a star instead of all these.
I don't want to talk speculative shit anymore because we are relevant again.
Okay, great.
So. Excuse me. I agree.
Frank, talk to me. I haven't heard Frank in a half hour. Can Frank talk?
I think I heard it's just your world we're living in.
Just trying to be respectful.
I was going to ask.
Oh, good luck jumping in because Murph doesn't know. Murph sounds like he's ending a thought. And then he pauses for about 10 seconds.
I would just like to talk about the goddamn division, dude. I've been waiting for like 10 fucking minutes what we think about the rest of the fucking division and the rest of the season. Do we have a chance?
Well, first, let me start off by saying, you know what? Fuck you, Murph, because I said 9-7, bitch. And guess what? We're going to win out. 9-7, bitch.
No, we ain't going 9-7.
All right, now hold on.
7-9 is probably more likely.
Settle down. holster those guns, okay? I know you're excited.
Suck a dick, Murph.
I know
you're excited. Or I will shove Joe Judge's massive fucking cock in your ass.
Let's talk about it then. You want to talk about Judge's cock? Talk about Judge's cock then. Let's go, Mage. Let's hear it. Do you truthfully think you want to talk about the division? Obviously, realistically, I mean, tough sledding ahead at some point of the season here. We're going to have.
Let's go game by game.
We can.
I was going to say, why aren't you.
Thank you, Frank. Like, I've been trying to do that for the last 2 weeks.
I'm ready.
Mage, but I told you 3 weeks ago. I told you 3 weeks ago the Giants would win at 6-10. And you're like, the next week, let's do the division again. And it's like 6-10. That's what's winning the East. 6-10. Unless the Eagles do it and have a tie, but they're not.
We're winning the division.
Damn right.
The Eagles are – they're. Wentz looks like crap right now. He looks awful. He's a horrible quarterback.
You also – their offensive
Washington, Dallas, there's no way. We're easily the best team. We're 100%. As long as we can do exactly what we did last game, we'll win the division.
We're going to have to steal one from the Seahawks or the Cardinals in order for that.
But we will.
Or the Ravens. Or
the Ravens is
That's a wild card.
We're definitely the most disciplined, best coach team in the division right now.
I'm gonna ease off.
What's that?
I'm gonna ease off on this hype that we're on right now. You know, I mean,
that's like so untap worthy. It's
unreal. I know. Well, yeah,
what did we even bring you on for?
Well, I've said it. I've said we're winning the division. I said, Mage, you're correct with the 9-7. We're going to win out. But I need to see us – mainly the game that I'm looking at is Seattle in, 2 weeks or our second game coming back? Because, like, that's a huge test, man.
Seattle got beat by the Rams.
12-6.
Yeah, but Wilson's playing like shit right now. And they have so many people hurt.
It's in Seattle. It's a 1 o'clock game, I think, right?
4 o'clock game.
We're away.
4 o'clock game. Okay. Yeah. We're away.
No one healthy. Wilson's playing really bad right now.
It's going
to
be.
We're going to have to steal one from the NFC West and the AFC North. We're going to have to get one from each and beat the Cowboys.
I mean,
and obviously, we're going to need two from the AFC North. We're going to need to beat the Browns and the Bengals.
Browns, Bengals, Cowboys get us at 6, okay? Those are three winnable games. Bengals coming out. Browns we should get.
And we'll, I mean,
we need a clinching game in between there, and that's Ravens, Seattle, and Arizona. I think Arizona at home is the most realistic win. They're riding the high horse. Everyone's back in Arizona, man. No, it's not. It's home.
I'm sorry.
It's in Seattle. You got the West Coast coming east. I think that Cardinals defense is a lot shittier than people think, and I think the Cardinals are a lot shittier than people think. They come back a lot. They were a Hail Mary away from losing to the Bills. They barely beat the Seahawks. Yes, they muscle out and finish games. That's great. But look, certain teams started this season very hot by finishing games, and where are they now? The Bears. So my point being, those West teams started really hot. I think we could sneak one of those, but the three we have to ice out – or the Bengals, the Browns, and the Cowboys.
I think Tapp's right. I think the Seattle game's a big game because if you look at that game, we match up pretty well with them. They play terrible defense right now. Unless something changes and all of a sudden they figure it out, right? I mean, I know they've got a couple guys back now. They've got back, what's his name, the safety from the Jets. And they got the D lineman from Cincinnati, so they're bringing
Adams
some.
Carlos Dunlap.
Exactly. Yep. But I mean, I think our offense matches up pretty well with them, and defensively, I mean, we'll probably have to put frickin' Ballantyne on DJ. What's his name? DK. But who else are they going to hurt us with?
Or Corey Ballantyne's?
Yeah,
he's ship sailed.
I didn't mean Ballantyne. I meant Bradbury.
Yeah.
Bradbury on DK, and then, you know, somebody's going to have to be on Lockett. But who else do they have for weapons? You know, I think we match up pretty well.
Forget, too, we might have Xavier McKinney back at that point.
Might. Oh, we will.
We will. We're going to have four people coming back.
That's going to open up this defense a lot.
Let the doctor talk. Mm-hmm.
No, Steph, let them know. Talk
I'm
about
not a doctor.
Tell them about Tay.
I feel like I'm going to end up
– No more Devontae Downs. No. Field boys.
We're going to get Xavier McKinney back. We're going to get O'Shea back. We're going to get – who else is there? Lewis, right?
Tay.
Who's the other one?
Tay Crowder.
And Tay. All of them. Four of them. Four. All
finally,
the
a bye week has come at –
And we're going to have the Bengals before, so we can see where they fit into the roster, and then it'll prepare us for the Seahawks. And I think we're going to beat the Seahawks.
We
I think we're going to lose to the Cardinals and beat the Seahawks.
Tough game. It's
they
a
play
way,
tomorrow, actually, both of them.
It's a way, too, you know what I mean? Like, that's the toughest part. But they don't have the 12th man this year, so that's definitely going to help as well. But, like, what I was saying is, like –
Knowing Joe Judge, he'll fly him in, like, 8 days early, so.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, right? They'll, like, finish off –
They're already there.
They'll fly from Seattle – I mean, from Cincinnati straight to Seattle. Well, because the reason why I'm looking at Seattle is they're the only team that – when you look at the rest of the schedule outside of Baltimore, they're the only team that's been consistent over these years. The Bengals are new. The Cardinals are new. The Browns are the Browns, so whatever, fuck them. And Dallas is shit right now. So Seattle is the one game that I'm really zoning on. I want to see how we attack their defense and how our defense attacks them. Will we be able to contain Russell Wilson? You know, people are saying that, like, Russell Wilson's playing like shit right now. A lot of players play like shit, and then they play against us, and all of a sudden they look like fucking stars. Look at Mullins. Look at fucking Foles. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's the game that I'm going to zone in on.
And he'll be arguably the best quarterback we've faced.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not even close. Those two, actually, Kyler and Russ.
The amount of Lamar Jackson hate on this show, I have to chime in, and none of yous, not one person, not even a little, not even a little chatter in the back. Week 15, we're going to beat the Ravens. No, we don't match up well for them. You guys are fake.
Of course we're beating the Ravens. I promise you. Okay.
Not even one of yous. You're going to pick the best quarterback we have to face in the remaining schedule and tell me we're going to beat
him. Oh, my God. Just
but then trash, and trash Lamar and then say, well, we don't match up well with them. They don't even have a number one receiver. They can barely run the ball, and you think Lamar Jackson's trash, so where don't
they,
we match up?
They don't
up
have well a pass. Kyler Murray is better than Lamar.
And you guys would rather those matches.
You're missing Tino's point.
Russell
though,
Wilson's
Murph
better than Lamar.
My point is, none of
Murph,
you
you're
said
missing his point.
Said that was the best quarterback we're going to play, though.
I'm not what overlooking the Ravens at all. I'm just saying, from the standpoint of trying to see where we're at, it's going to be week 11. We're going to play Seattle. Seattle's consistent as shit. Baltimore, they're consistent. I mean, their organization is just great from top to bottom, but it's also week 16. I'm looking at what's coming up now. So essentially, by week 16 against Baltimore, we're going to have an idea of where we're at. Either way, like, we're going to play hard, but we're going to have an idea of where we're at, whether like we still have a shot to make the playoffs, to win the fucking division, this, that, and the other thing. That's the only reason why I'm not looking at Baltimore.
You Does anyone know what the strength of schedule
Baltimore is? Baltimore
is
not good. What?
Well,
what's the strength of schedule for the rest of the NFC East? Does anybody know?
I think the Eagles have the toughest schedule.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have the easiest schedule.
Yeah, they do.
Well, they're also
– For the record, that was a direct shot at Murph and Mage, just because I don't want them to cower under your incredible takes.
Well –
Shy away from the fact they want to give out compliments and talk about quarterbacks, but not talk about the boy Lamar Jackson, who finally is starting to play like shit, and now you guys haven't said anything about it. We get to see it.
I mean, I'm going to eat all the crow on that because I was with you on that. So Mage was the right one on that. But, I mean.
I just want to incite a riot.
I agree with Tat. By the time we get to Baltimore, we'll already know where we stand. So yeah, everything before that matters.
I think Cardinals is a bigger matchup for us than the Seahawks. I don't see the Seahawks. They have a lot of injured players, a lot of them. There's no consistency. Russell, I mean, I think this week will be a good, like, tell whoever wins. They're both 6-3.
Yeah, they play
It'll be
tomorrow.
Interesting to see who wins.
Well, really good point, though. So now if we do lose to Seattle, right, hypothetically, we lose to Seattle, that Arizona game becomes gigantic. Because then we play.
It's the biggest game in Giants.
The biggest game
of
the
last couple years.
It's a bounce back game. You're back at home for two. I mean, that's everything. I mean, it really is going into Cleveland. I mean, that is a true teller of where this season's going to go.
That'll be the biggest game we've had in a long time, for sure. I mean, probably since literally we played Green Bay in the playoffs, as crazy as that sounds.
Cold day, that fucking.
And honestly, last week was a huge game.
No one's going on any boats, though. Not even on the Hudson, all right?
We don't have any dumbasses anymore.
So at the end of the day, let's just go real quick, round table, Tap, Steph, Frank, Murph, Tino. Are the Giants going to win the division? Tap.
Yeah, I think so. Steph. It's ours to take, man.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if they play the way they've been playing, I drop my phone, then yeah, definitely. I think it's without – I would be pissed if they don't now. The Eagles are playing like shit. Washington's playing like shit, and the Cowboys are a joke. If we don't win the division, it's going to be upsetting. I'd rather win the division. I don't care what happens after that. It's fine. I'll be happy, but.
Frank?
It's a week-to-week league, right? The NFL can change in a heartbeat. So I think we win the division, but, you know, an injury can change all that. I think we get to 7-9, and we win the division.
Murph.
I want you to go before May Mish.
I'm sticking with my 9-7 record, so I'm not changing it.
Let's go.
So you're saying, yeah?
I do think that the Giants could win this division, but I'll use this opportunity to bring up something I heard on Mike Greenberg's show. But Mike Greenberg said when he was watching the Tampa Bay game, he thought that the Giants looked like the best team in the NFC East. He had Mark Schlereth on. Mark Schlereth said 5 weeks ago he thought that the Giants looked like the best team in the NFC East. And we've been saying on this show with the progression, week in and week out, the way that they've been playing, the Giants haven't, and I think we said this last week, Tino, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Giants didn't play like a 2-7 team. They didn't. So I don't give a shit about the record. I know I've said that before. I want to see progress. They haven't let me down at all. Every fucking week this team has gotten better. And I have no reason to think that they're not going to continue to get better. So I'm sticking by what I said. So, yes, Giants win the division.
We haven't played like a 2-7 team all year. Outside of San Francisco, we've been in every single game.
You're right.
We could have won every single game. And I know that outside of Twitter and stuff, like some of us text each other. And I'm telling you, we've played. I mean, we could have won every single game. The first – was it 6 weeks or so? I kept saying if we had a lick of offense in any of those games, we would be 5-1.
Or let's tap. You know what? I want to take that to also capitalize on the point. Danny also made some errant decisions in those games that, you know, kind of killed the comeback against the Rams, some other things with the fumble. Danny hasn't turned over the ball in 2 weeks, guys. No fumbles, no interceptions.
I hate that that keeps on getting pointed out. I hate
because everyone's showing up.
And they keep on
and like even.
I absolutely can't stand it when the announcers keep on talking about, you know, Danny's not turning over the ball. Danny's not turning over the ball. Look at the ball protection. Yeah, I mean, the first couple of weeks he made a few decisions that were questionable. But, you know, that pick in the end zone against Pittsburgh, I feel like he was really trying to throw that away. There were a couple of games where
so do I.
Where you kind of look at that and you're like, dude, like, I can't believe you just tried that, you know, you just tried that fucking stupid move. But with that said, I think now he's trusting himself more. He's trusting the coaching staff more. He's trusting the line more. And that's the important part moving forward is that he's trusting the system. He's trusting the team. He's a fierce competitor. So as a fierce competitor, you always try to do more.
And well, 2 points I have tapped to really piggyback off of that. One, Danny not turning over the ball the last 2 weeks. I know we don't want to hear them constantly talk about it. But again, progress. This is something that we're seeing from the coaching staff. That is him being coached up, which is beautiful. And the other thing, too, is something that we brought up on the show here is let Danny play ball, man. The one thing that I saw, and matter of fact, Tap, I brought you up on the show because you and I had this conversation privately.
Face.
Danny looked scared. The face, right? He looked lost. He looked confused. What is something that I've been saying in the group chat and also here the last couple of weeks? The cadence has changed. He looks more in charge of the offense. He's calling audibles at the line, using hand signals. He is now in charge of this offense, and we're seeing the results of that. We're bearing the fruit.
There's also movement at the line, which we did not see the first couple weeks.
He's also getting hit less.
The first couple of weeks, it was just we would just line up, you know, execute whatever play we were trying to execute. There was no movement at all. So I'm asking you guys this. Everyone is saying, okay, it's coaching. What are they doing that's helping him not turn the ball over?
Let's get the Florida staff.
Just let me get it out of my system.
Steph literally just said it.
He's not getting his much. They're giving the ball to the right people, and they're calling the right plays. Like, it's not – to make Ingram the target, and then for there to be an incomplete pass and then blame it on Danny is ridiculous to me. So the reason why we're having success is because we're actually playing a good football game. It's not trying to force the same play over and over and over again. He's getting exactly what he needs to play well.
Think about this for a sec. Danny played for Duke, right? He was always the best player on his team. He always had to put the entire team on his shoulders to do anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what happens this year, right? He loses his running back. His O-line is a mess at the beginning of the year. He loses his safety blanket, wide receiver, and Shep for the first whatever games, right? So Danny feels like he has to make every play. And he pressed. He pressed hard the first couple games. He made mistakes because he was like, I got to do this on my own. I'm going to throw this ball. He throws that ball away in Pittsburgh. He makes bad interceptions in the Tampa Bay game. So, I mean, now he's starting to get some of his weapons back, and we got to give him more weapons going forward. But he doesn't have to do it all himself. And I really feel like if there's one thing that the team is doing for him or Coach Judge is doing for him, they're telling him, you don't have to do it by yourself. Trust in your coaches to call the right plays and trust in your guys to go make some plays. And he did that against the Eagles. Yeah. He trusted Shep, he trusted Slayton, and he trusted Tate, and they all came up big for him.
Also, knowing when to take the sack, when to throw the ball away, I think that's huge too. And it's definitely in practice that they're working on people swatting the ball from him, the line collapsing. Because Joe Judge is such a genius when it comes to the small details. And he looks at everything. He has the offense watch tape of the defense and the defense watch tape of the offense just to see what each player sees on their own team. That's unbelievable.
I think a big thing this week is not targeting Ingram. I think that when Danny takes reads of the field, he does one, does two. He only sees one person open, and then he's supposed to throw the ball to Ingram, and Ingram fucking drops it, and then he takes heat for it. Because this game, like, giving Ingram just passes where he'd get a couple yards, what do you get, like, three – I don't know, what do you get, three catches, I think?
Three targets, two catches.
Yeah, okay. So, did he drop one?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, not whatever. Probably. But I'm trying to give him heat. But I think Ingram has been, like, a, like – thorn in his side a little bit. I think that they've been really trying to force him into a mold that he doesn't fit, and I think Garrett thinks it's Witten. It's not Witten. You're not in Dallas. Like, he doesn't fit that mold. Like, get people involved. This game, I think the snap count was way more spread out. Like, I think they actually were utilizing people for what they're good at. Caden Smith got involved. We've seen Toliolo get, like, the past two games, he's been in way more than he's been in.
Murph, you still haven't given me your prediction yet.
I think they're gonna win it, man. But like I said, they gotta get one from Seattle or Arizona. But also, I really fucking hate to say this, but I can't overlook Cleveland either. So
we're in no position to overlook any team. Right.
We also and Taps, while he says that, I mean, we're 3-7, dude. And we literally probably should have won every game but one. Literally.
We're the best 3-7 team of all time, baby.
I mean, as crazy and, you know, people want to make jokes and shit because Gettleman said someone told him they're the best 3-7 team or some shit like that. And I mean, dude, we should have won. We should have won all those games besides the Niners game. Besides the Niners game. The Niners beat our ass, and I'm okay with that. That's fine. Shit happens, but we went toe-to-toe with the best team in the league, who's undefeated, the Steelers. Should have beat them. The Bears, I mean, I don't think the Bears are as good as their record. And there's no reason to even go through this. There's the only game that we got our ass beat is literally the Niners. Every other game we lost. We lost ourselves.
The thing about the Giants right now with the East is that we are really the only team that's trending up. Everyone else is definitely trending down. And I know I see Steph laughing, and I make that point because I saw you made that point. So, and no one mentioned it. So I'm just helping you out there, Steph.
She's right, though, and she's away from it. So I know she's not going to unmute herself and chime in. So I'll build on her point, too. Us trending upwards helps because the Eagles have just as tough as tough of a schedule as we do. They got the Browns, they got the Packers, they got the Saints, they pretty much have a similar slope to us. So, yeah, us trending in the right direction is a great thing because the Eagles tied and won a game, then won two, and we just knocked them off their ass. If they go down and we're going up, this is the time to do it. This is the time to do it. They can easily get buried in a four-game losing streak, and we could win four in a row, and it changes the entire season.
The Eagles' next five games are brutal. They got the Browns. They got Seattle. They got
Cards. Green Bay.
They got Green Bay, New Orleans, and then the Cards. And then
they just got their team back, and they're doing that. Like, and they lost to us. So I think that they're kind of screwed at this point.
I just need us to win games outside of this shitty division.
Agreed. It'll be interesting to see when all these people come back, how they're going to, like, play a part in.
But what a time to be alive real quick, Cap. For
a while, can we win the division with five wins?
I wanted to win a game outside of the Redskins, and we beat the Eagles. Yeah. And now we're saying we want to win games outside the division. It's like, let's go. Let's buckle up, boys. I mean, this is what we waited for, a competitive team that can win some games. I mean, let's be real. Up into the Eagles game, four wins in 2 years, all to Washington. We didn't even smell a win outside. The Bucks, five.
But yeah.
A comeback in Danny's debut, you know, almost an anomaly at that point. So, you know, I had to see it to believe it. Beating the Eagles is one of those games that it's like, if you can crack the ice on that, it's really anyone's game, at least with the Giants being as competitive as they've been.
No. And I don't want to jinx us, but I know you haven't talked. It's just those teams have so many hurt people, and we're about to have I don't even want to fucking say it. We're going to have a full roster for the first time in a very long time, besides for Saquon, which kind of hasn't really impacted us. But, like, these other teams are really hurting right now.
So with us talking about us trending upwards and the other teams trending downwards, did you guys see Logan Ryan's statement today where he was saying – the Giants are putting in the work, and he doesn't think that the Eagles are going to match that. We're on a mission this year, and no one is on our level.
Well, to that point, Tap, there's no way the Eagles came into that game respecting the Giants. I mean, that was
Peterson, that was his worst game I've ever seen him call since I've been watching the NFL.
Well, I know it was after. I saw the quote. It's after the game. It was either today or yesterday. But even going into the game, I think Logan Ryan feels the way he does because they should have beat the Eagles the first time. And they beat them this time, knowing the Eagles did not respect the Giants. They thought the Giants are a shitty team. And the Giants went out there and proved it that they weren't.
The Eagles didn't respect us. The Eagles organization didn't respect us. The Eagles fans didn't respect us. Because all throughout after the game, all you heard was the Eagles fans saying, I can't believe we lost to this fucking team. I can't believe we lost to this fucking team.
Why would they respect us? Why would they?
But listen to Doug Peterson on the radio. You heard his rant on the radio? He's all butthurt. Good.
He is. He's upset.
Because we tricked him. We tricked his ass. He's pissed. He didn't expect all those RPOs.
But the one thing I want to ask everybody here, though, because Tap brought up Logan Ryan. Does anybody get a feeling that Logan Ryan's going to be back next year? Because I do.
100%. Absolutely. 100%.
Especially after what we did for his wife. He loves this organization. He loves Joe Judge. And also, this goes out to all the people that wanted us to tank. I was talking to my brother about this, and it's like, we need to win games. You know, obviously the certain fans want us to win games. But looking towards the future also, we need to win games because we need to attract players here. People want to come to a team that's trending up. Guys will feel like they're the missing piece. They can help this team get over the hump. Everyone is praising Joe Judge, except for who was that douchebag that said Emmanuel Ocho or whatever the hell his name was like, fuck Joe Judge or whatever. And he still hasn't responded to me yet. I might be blocked. But anyway, what I'm saying is we need to win games so people see our culture. We need to attract players. Fuck the tanking.
I feel like we are starting to, though. I think you can tell by the culture. I feel like the guys are getting – I haven't seen that since it was, like, OC and all those guys. Like, these guys do very much respect each other. And I don't think you see that across the board in the NFL. Like, and that's something that at least I take pride in. If you're going to lose all the games, at least be so loyal to each other. I don't know if you guys noticed that. I mean, they complement each other. Daniel Jones has not said a bad word. All those dropped balls by Ingram. And the reporters are mean. They're mean to them. Judge can shut them down, but the rest of them it's fine. It's no big deal.
Well, it's funny because we got people on Twitter that constantly make fun of or mock the Giants culture. But that's a good point, Steph. I mean, despite the fact that the Giants only had one win, then two wins, and then three wins, you're right. They haven't lost any of their camaraderie, and they're still going out there and then battling as a team. All right, boys and girls. So any closing arguments? Final words?
Victory Thursday.
Thanks for coming on.
Goddamn gang.
Thanks to the three guests for coming on. I mean, this is the first of its kind on this show here. Three guests, six total people on this. I like it, guys.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
I think it went well.
It wasn't a complete shit show.
I thought it was going to be much more of a shit show, honestly.
That's it. Hey, that's why I get paid the big bucks on the show, to reel everybody in and keep everybody in order. But before we let everybody go, Tino, are you ready for our clap back all stacks? Let's do your picks for the week.
All right. So let me inform the people what happened last week here. I sat here and I told Mage my pick as the dog, as I tell the people every week, I'm going to give you an underdog, told you the Giants 3.5 and Giants money line. And Mage said, that's your pick. That's it? That's all you want to give the people? Yes. And we were right. And you guys cashed if you listened. So we're going to move on. In my dog of the week here, we're going to go with the Falcons, boys. +5. The Falcons love to lead games that they don't deserve to be in and blow them at the end. Hopefully, it doesn't get over 5 points. But I love the points here. Jameis Winston, it's going to go one of two ways. He's going to throw 4 touchdowns, 4 picks. I will bank on the fact that the Falcons are 3-1. 3-1 since Raheem Morris has taken over as a head coach, and I like them to cover the 5 points. That's my pick, and with that pick, this is live. The Knicks just took Obi Toppin out of Dayton with their pick in the NBA draft, so that's actually a good pick. I have no comments on it.
He's a New York guy, right? He's a Jersey guy, right?
From what I understand, yeah. But
I'm pretty sure he's from y'all's area.
He was balling in Dayton. That's all I know.
Flipping out when they just put the pick in. I was going absolutely nuts over here. I had to mute myself.
All right. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you to our guests, Action Tap Jackson, Frank the Tank, and Steffi Smalls. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.